to shotgun and throw across. Here goes Kittle. On the run, George Kittle inside the 10. Kittle to the pylon. What a run. He is marked just short. George Kittle took off. They marked him out of bounds at the 3.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Captain Obvious has arrived. I'd like to say this out loud.
Do it.
Yo, Niner fans, you got yourself one hell of a tight end. My God.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, and you know what? We want to go to the phones. I just want to get this off my chest for about 20 seconds because I've dealt with this for the last 3 years on social media. There's always some Kelce fan out there who's like, that's ridiculous that you think Kittle is the best tight end in football. Do you know what? Eat it. You've been wrong for 3 years, and you still are, and only now you're seeing it because his fantasy numbers are down. So now suddenly you're able to see that all along, George Kittle has been the all-around best tight end in this game. Travis has been the best receiving tight end in this game. But George Kittle is the best tight end in this game. And he still is, by the way. So happy National Tight Ends Day.
Yeah.
That was started by George. It was finished by George. That is the face of the position in the NFL.
Those tight ends had a day now.
Oh
like
my
across
God.
The board, they all.
It felt like people were messing with us. I'm like, are you
right.
only throwing to the tight ends to
yeah.
celebrate or something?
Pretty funny. I have Trey McBride on my fantasy team, and he was just, you know, catch-a.
Dude.
Laporta and
Kate Otten.
Yeah, Kate Otten.
Kelce
got a piece.
Kelce had a
finally
big game.
Finally got in the end zone.
Kittle had a big game.
Yep.
Dude, the Lions were using Laporta, and then their other dude scored. That's what I noticed. I'm like, backup tight ends are scoring. And then lovely Christy was sitting there at one point. She's like, everybody's tight end has scored except for mine. And where's Evan Engram? 2 minutes later, boom, touchdown.
Nice.
I'm like, dude, everybody was amazing yesterday. But the Niners have the best tight end in the game.
Looking at the Pro Football Focus numbers for tight ends this year, where do you think George Kittle ranks on overall tight ends?
Overall tight end, this is PFF?
PFF numbers.
Oh.
And there
I never know how those work.
It's pass catching, it's blocking, run blocking, it's pass blocking. It's all categories of all things that a tight end can do.
Let me just scan.
I'll give you a clue. It's not Travis Kelce.
No, I know it's not Travis Kelce.
He's number 15, tied with A.J. Barner.
Are you asking me who's number one or where George sits?
Where George sits.
Where George sits. Let me just scan. Scanning. Zach Ertz has had a good year. Scanning. Oh, Kyle Pitts has been kind of fun, finally. I'll put him at number one.
Number one.
Yeah. Yeah,
I number know, one.
A
yeah.
couple other guys doing some really cool things. Brock Bowers has been
number
a nice,
two.
Yeah, nice pickup
number
for the
two.
Raiders.
Trey number McBride, two. Number three,
Trey
and
McBride.
Then it's Mark
number
Andrews
three.
And Dalton Kincaid.
Okay,
is your top five?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
I say this without hesitation whatsoever. That's the best tight end in the game, and he has been for a long time. Kelce's just the number one receiving tight end, but George Kittle affects the game unlike any tight end in football. And at this time where the Niners receivers have been a revolving health door, my goodness, thank God for George Kittle. He has been one of the only stabilizing forces on this 49er offense all year.
Yeah, and he did it straight out of the locker room, that Mike Tirico call right there, 43-yard catch and run. Just a simple little slant, comes off the line, one move, boop, the quick throw, and a lot of yak, and he gets all the way down to the 3 or 4 yard line, and I want to credit Kyle Shanahan before we go to the phones for listening to the show because all last week, what did I say, Mark? Quick throws, screens, get the ball to Debo right away.
Get the ball out of his hand.
And he did a ton of that yesterday where a lot of Brock Purdy just get the ball and boom to Debo, quick throws to George and the rest of it.
Then again, there's a reason why they did a lot of that stuff also, which is it worked, which is because the Cowboys' defensive line offered very little.
Yep.
And the Niners offensive line, give them credit too. They did a good job. You can only block the people in front of you, and they did. except for the one that Isaac Garendo missed.
Really quick, do you guys want some stats to back up George Kittle's greatness?
Oh, yeah.
I know they shared a couple of these on the broadcast last night, but George Kittle had his 500th career reception last night. He is the fourth fastest tight end in terms of number of games to get to 500 career receptions. He's now the fifth ever Niners player to have 500 receptions as a Niner behind Jerry Rice, T.O., Roger Craig, and Dwight Clark. He has the third most receiving yards in franchise history behind Jerry Rice and T.O. as well.
Passed Dwight Clark, right? He passed Dwight Clark last night. Yeah.
And he has the third most games with 100 or more receiving yards in franchise history, and of course the most among tight ends, because also behind Jerry Rice and T.O. there as well.
Well, those are beautiful, and they're all receiving stats, which don't even bring in what the other part of what I'm talking about, which is that he is so good at all the other things that a tight end is supposed to be good at. Travis Kelce is an amazing receiver out of the tight end position. He can't hold a candle to what George Kittle does as a blocker and the rest of what you do in framework with the offensive line.
Kittle now 9 catches away from tying Christian McCaffrey. So he's about to go right by his teammate with 10 more catches on the all-time catch list.
Wow. Wow. Well, except for Christian might show up and start catching more balls too.
He might.
You might. All right, let's go to Joe in San Jose. What up, Joe?
All right, thank you guys for taking my call. Yeah, about the 49ers, I feel good about their chances. They're a well-coached team. I can say that much. And all the games that they were in those games, and they could have won easily those. I wouldn't say easily, but they had a shot to win those games. But let me ask you guys a question. If you compare the Niners to the Warriors, which team has a better shot going far in the playoffs or making the playoffs? And do you agree that the Niners are a better coached team than the Warriors? Because the Warriors had 18 turnovers last night. Thank you.
Well, okay, that's interesting, Joe. So wait, the way he phrased it, which is which team has a better chance to make the playoffs.
Or go further in the playoffs, I think.
Is that what he said? Because I think the Warriors definitely have a better chance to make the playoffs than the 49ers. But I'd argue the 49ers have a better chance to go further in the playoffs, assuming they make them. Like, in other words, the Niners, I think, there's a reasonable thought that they get healthy, get right, and actually do have still championship aspirations. I think the Warriors, as constructed right now, are a very good team. I think it's a playoff team. Are they a true championship contender? Probably not. Probably not. So them moving through the playoffs into the Western Conference Finals or whatever, I find that to be less likely than the Niners doing it.
Agreed. I'm wondering about the idea of the playoff odds for the Golden State Warriors. You know, if the over-under for their wins is sitting at 43.5, that would indicate that the odds would say 44 wins is the most likely, which for me would put you into a play-in tournament at 44 wins, most likely.
Probably.
And, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 seed goes into the play-in. So if you go into the play-in, let's say you get 44 wins and you're the 8 seed, well, you need to win one game, 50-50 proposition to make the playoffs. So it feels to me like the Warriors are about a 50-50 playoff proposition. And as earlier indicated from the ESPN Football Power Index, they're at 45%. So those two are actually...
Could call it similar.
Yeah, Joe may be onto something.
Maybe. Although he called the Niners a very well-coached team and said the Warriors were not. And then he cited one game where the Warriors turned the ball over 18 times. And I would just say, look, I think both of them are very well-coached teams, and players also have undisciplined games. Like, if you're going to say the Warriors turned it over 18 times, well, the Niners committed like 27 holding penalties in the first half.
It was 21 turnovers last night, by the way.
Okay,
thank you.
21. Yeah.
And if you commit 21 turnovers, how much of that is on coaching? I look at one game, and is he the one telling Jonathan Kuminga, yeah, go ahead and throw that one-arm cross-court pass here? That's a good idea, Jonathan. I've coached you to do that. I don't think that you can look at a one-game failure from a turnover standpoint and put that on the coach.
Agreed.
Now, if it's a longer scope where the team struggles and they're doing these things and these things are not being corrected, then yeah, maybe we can then point fingers toward the bench.
I mean, in general, this is not just the Niners. This is all teams. In general, when I see, like, a coaching problem, it's usually not in the area we tend to think. So even, for example, and I think Kyle deserves some criticism for this because he's in charge, so that's kind of the way it works. But when you see them consistently make undisciplined plays, there have been too many penalties this year, for example. When they're undisciplined, in general, that's more on the player than the coach. Because no coach is out there being like, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold him and then just hope that you don't get caught. Nobody's doing that. Now, is he stressing enough the way that they're going about it? Maybe, maybe not. But I think you can see with a football team when there's sort of a quote-unquote coaching problem. And it doesn't usually just mean play calling and penalties. You can see when someone is over their skis, the locker room is all over the place. Like, I'll give you an example, and I know people will hate this, but right now the Raiders are poorly coached. That's a poor, and that's not a shot at Antonio Pierce. He's just not ready.
Well, it's a shot at him. And well,
but he's not ready. Like,
well,
he got,
shoot your shot. It's all you got. But it's a shot that you should take.
He got thrown in. This happens in sports.
Yes.
Someone gets thrown in an interim situation. There's a momentary emotional, like, ooh, that looked better.
It's a dead cat bounce.
And then here we go. Now we're going to hire this guy for a 4-year contract. It's like, no, hang on a sec. That was just a fun 3 weeks, right? Don't get married because you met someone last night. Just hold on a second and vet this process.
Yeah.
And see what you think when you actually get the real information. Because Pierce immediately looked over his skis. And I think Davante Adams saw it, and he's like, get me the hell out of here. And now the whole thing is wobbly, and it's not all his fault. They didn't get a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not looking at the Warriors or the 49ers or the Chiefs or even the Rams. Like, teams like that where I'm like, that coach has already shown us that they're a good coach. I don't need more evidence that they're a well-coached team. They're not going to look good every time because people screw up. But those are well-coached football teams. You can see it when someone's not.
Right.
The Jags look like not a well-coached football team right now.
Well, and we can kick it even further upstairs where you have an organization that traditionally has been dysfunctional, and the leadership that they have in place, going down to the head coach that they have in place, it usually doesn't work because it's rotten from the head on down. And that's where you look at a lot of organizations that tend to make the same sorts of mistakes over and over and over again. And the Raiders are a good example of that, where the owner is not a very good and savvy owner, and the people he puts in place are either not qualified or not supported or both.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Let's keep riding, okay? You're 4-4, essentially, as you hit the bye and the halfway mark. You can look at the expectations from preseason or simply look at where you were last week. Like, knowing all we know, are you feeling good or are you feeling like crap as a 49er fan? Let's go to Richie in South San Jose. Hi, Richie. Thanks for calling. Richie! Richie is...
Sorry, I'm muted. Can you hear me?
Oh, buzzer beater, Richie.
Wow, you threw it up from half court.
We got to go to the monitor to see if he got in time.
Yeah, hold
Richie.
On. Red hanky. Okay, Richie, what's up?
Okay, so, all right. So, kind of echoing the thought of the last caller, I have a different perspective, though, on it. So, looking where we are right now, I think I'm not unhappy with where we are because of the fact that first of all, like what you said, thank God for George Kittle. And second of all, thank God the NFC West sucks right now. So we do have a shot of making we're probably going to make the playoffs. But going into the season, I had higher expectations on, and my worry right now, okay, I know we're going to get back these players like Greenlaw, McCaffrey, maybe even Hufanga comes back. And maybe Hargrave comes back to the playoffs. But even if we have these players, I'm just looking at it from a global perspective. I'm somewhat sad right now as a Niner fan, just because unless those players who come back add some crazy injection, I think the discrepancy in right now between us and like the Lions, some other teams, NFC, even the Redskins maybe, and even the overall, upper echelon teams in NFL, like if we're even if we say if we're even making it to the Super Bowl, like I think we're not, there's those are the teams I feel like are way better than us, and I don't see how we're going to match that this year. It's somewhat sad to see that, and I don't know if it's due to the coaching. I want to say Sorensen, like, because our defense is flat out nowhere how it was. That's a big difference between the previous years when we made those runs. Our defense is nothing like that right now. Our defensive line is trash. I mean, okay, maybe that might be extreme. We have Nick Bosa, but we can be run on, and I'm worrying that. That's something that we won't be able to fix, and maybe Nick Sorensen doesn't have it in him right now to come overcome those flaws.
Yeah, Richie, thanks. I think the Nick Sorensen conversation is still a living, breathing thing. It's still evolving. I don't really know yet exactly what to say about the defensive coordinator situation. I think that we'll get more information as players come back and we see a full season. But it's interesting to me that when a team is 4-4, and you can go, well, they're not as good as the Lions and the Commanders. And it's like, well, right, they're not as good right now. But we've already watched this. Like, they were 3-5 a few years ago. And I guarantee you, all of us in that moment were like, oh, God, they're not going to compete with the top of the conference. They're not going to be able to do it. And then they did. So, like, the exercise for me, as hard as this is to just focus in on last night, you beat the Cowboys, now you've got your bye, and I cannot stress enough how important the next 13 days are. We have evidence from before that the 49ers rejuvenate over the bye. It's also when Kyle Shanahan makes adjustments. This particular bye, it's also when Christian McCaffrey and Juwan Jennings will return to action, and it encompasses the trade deadline. I really believe that there is a way that the 49ers come back in 13 days a completely renewed and refreshed and different football team. It's possible.
Even if they come back as the same football team without any trade acquisitions, and maybe you still don't have McCaffrey and you don't have Greenlaw, the very fact that you get 13 days of rest and you get to go take on a Tampa Bay team that's more depleted, I think that you can still be better than you have been in the second half, just based on, you know, being able to turn the page and come off a bye. And you look at what Kyle Shanahan has done in November. His record's been spectacular, and his record after the bye in particular seasons has also been very good. And the whole thing about, you're not as good as Detroit, I agree. You're not as good as Washington, I also agree. It doesn't matter if you don't play them, and it also doesn't matter if on one Sunday in January, you are better. And that's the only time that this matters. Now, you do play Detroit, so it would be nice to be better than Detroit when you actually play them December 30th, my sister's birthday.
Nice.
Kaner turning 60. She'll be in the house at Levi's Stadium.
Long time from now.
Yeah.
Long time from now.
That's 2 months. Two months and 2 days. And enjoy your 50s, Gail, because in 2 months and 2 days, 6-0, and that's December 30th down there at Levi's. So that's the only time that you have to be better than Detroit.
You might not even have to be better than them. I don't know what's going to happen between now and then.
Exactly.
Who knows? You might have clinched the NFC West already.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You might also be 5-10 or you might, at that point.
Yes, that's right. You might have clinched
just one quick follow-up on
the draft.
Joe's call about the playoff odds. I did a quick Googleage, and FanDuel has the Warriors to make the playoffs -144. The implied percentage is 59%.
Okay.
So FanDuel is saying the Warriors have a 59% chance to make the playoffs, and the Niners are at 45, according to ESPN.
Yeah, that's ESPN, but I looked at FanDuel's Niners, and they've got them as a favorite to make the playoffs also.
What's the number? I'll find it.
No, I've got it. I've got it right here. I think the Niners,
they're probably about -160 to make the playoffs.
Well, bet 365 or Bet Rivers. Mm-hmm. These are all right. Bet Rivers has the Niners to make the playoffs at -182.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And Bet 365 has them at -170. Okay. Anyway, the point is they're favorite. They're favorite to make the playoffs.
-170 would be a 63% implied percentage chance, and ESPN with all of their fanciness has them at 45%. So either way, we're not used to them being down in those neighborhoods at four and four.
We didn't even think we'd be talking about make the playoffs. That was, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the playoffs.
That is not what we, right? That was not playoffs? What we thought we were going to be worried about going into week 9.